Take your Bible this morning, if you will, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20. Now you say, preacher, we've been in Acts chapter 20 for a while. Well, we have, and we're eventually going to get out of it, all right? I don't know exactly when, but this might be the Sunday we finish up in Acts chapter 20. The truth of the matter is there's a great amount of preaching in all the Word of God. There's so much truth there, you can never plumb the depths of the Word of God. There's always something there for you that'll be a help. Thank you, sir. So I encourage you to read your Bible. Read your Bible. And just make it a daily habit. And you read it. It's not like reading a novel. I've got some novels that I have read more than once. But every time I've read it again, it always had the same thing in it. Never changed. Nothing else was there. I never said, whoa, I never saw that before. But man, when I read my Bible, I read things that I've read many times, and I think, how did I miss that before? So I hope you will read your Bible, all right? Acts chapter 20. Now, I want to remind you that over half of the book of chapter 20 is the Apostle Paul talking to the Ephesian elders, all right? Paul is on his way to Jerusalem, okay? He's on his way. Now, he's been warned that if he goes, that he's going to be, you know, it's not going to be a good thing. But he goes through there, and he's on his way there to Jerusalem, and he's determined to be there at the day of Pentecost, as we see on verse 16. But at verse 17, the Bible says he comes to Miletus, and he's there, and he comes and he sends for the elders of the church at Ephesus, and they came to him, and he began to speak to them. And in his message to them, he says everything he says is more just a blessing. It's a good, it's an encouragement, and everything that he said to them serves as a challenge and encouragement to us nearly 2,000 years later, all right? He said, well, it's amazing. Yeah, because the Word of God has no expiration date. All right? The Word of God has no expiration date. You go to the grocery store. My wife, she looks at the expiration date. I do when it comes to things like milk. You know, and I'll go through the whole milk deal looking for the farthest off expiration date. But, you know, it's got a date on it, and you don't want to drink it after that date. Now, as far as I'm concerned, every milk jug could be stamped yesterday because I don't drink milk. I mean, I don't care for milk, don't like it. By the way, your pastor was harangued over not liking milk when I was in Idaho. They gave me a hard time about things I don't do, like drink coffee, all right? How many of you drink coffee? I'll pray for you, okay? I drink a cup a year, maybe. All right, I'll drink a cup a year. I'm not a big coffee drinker. You say, why not? Tastes nasty. How many of you, now be honest, those of you that drink coffee, how many of you had to develop a taste for it? You had to acquire a taste. Okay? Not me, I ain't doing that. If it don't taste good, why'd I have to work it up to make it taste good, you know? Now, some of you doctor it up. Now, if you're going to be a coffee drinker, gut it out and drink it black, all right? I mean, just don't go around claiming you love coffee when what you love is milk and sugar with a little coffee flavor, all right? That's wrong. So, now, I'm not going to charge you today for that message, okay? You say, where's the scripture? There is none, all right? But, hey, I can say milk, it could be long ago. But I'm so glad that the Word of God has no expiration date. Hey, what's good for my generation is good for the generation of Stephen and Luis and Jacob. It's still good for their generation. It doesn't suddenly pass away because, well, we're the new generation. It doesn't matter. There was a time that I was in that new generation. Hey, but there's no expiration. It's good for everybody, all right? And so we read down through and we get to verse 32. And that's where I want to draw your attention to this morning, Acts 20, verse 32. The Apostle Paul, he's beginning to wind up what he's saying to him. And he says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Now, the words that God inspired Paul to give those folks in Ephesus have a message that's just as timely for us as it was for them. I want you to notice Paul's commendation. Just 2 points in the message, all right? First of all, he said this. He said, "I commend you to God." I commend you to God. To commend is to entrust, in the sense of putting them in the care of God. What a wonderful place to be placed. Boy, if I could do anything, I'd say amen to what Paul says and commend you to God and entrust you to him. Hey, that indicates that God can do and could do with them as he pleased. He could do to them and with them as he pleased and as you and I might need. What we might need, we're placed in God's care. And I want you to think of some things that he can do and he does do. Number one, he can call you. He can call you to a specific service. He does call you into his marvelous light. He calls you. You're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as the Lord and Savior. If you've never put your trust in him, you've never asked him to forgive you for being a sinner and ask him to save your soul, this morning he calls you to the light. He calls you to the light of the gospel. And if you'll get in that marvelous light, I'll just be honest with you. If you ever get in that light, you'll never find any other place you'd rather be. You'll find it to be an absolutely marvelous life that you get in with. There's none to contend with it. Nothing can be found anywhere else to compare to the life and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing to compare to being a child of God. You know, there's been movies made of people who, children of royalty, switching places with somebody that's, you know, not out of royalty, that's more of a common life, and that person here, the commoner, getting that life of royalty. And most people think, boy, what a thing it would be to be the child of somebody who was just filthy rich. You know, just to think, to be in that family, to live in that mansion. Hey, we've all driven by huge places or seen huge homes and thought, wonder what it'd be like to live there. It's what in the world would be like to live in a house where you could get lost. Take 3 days to find your way back, you know. we have those thoughts of that. I just want to tell you something. When you get born again, you get into the family of God, you become heirs of God. We're heirs with Christ, all the good things of God. Hey, when I knelt and prayed, I went down a beggar, but I came up a king, all right? Came up in the family of God. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing that is. Hey, he calls you into that marvelous light. We commend you to God. Why? Because he can call you. He'll call you into his marvelous light. Hey, he can call you into special service. I'm glad he still calls people to serve him. Glad he does. Look, if he ever calls you, don't run from the call of God. If he calls you to serve him some special way, maybe as a preacher, as a missionary, or some other special field of service, if he calls you, don't run from that call. Instead, run to it. Run to it. Get involved in it. Get involved in it. Man, enjoy that. He calls you. He commends you to God. Why? He can call you. But we commend you to God because also he can chastise you. Nobody got excited there, did you? We don't like chastisement. We don't like chastisement. We don't like to be corrected. We sure don't like it when that correction involves any kind of punishment. Hey, but the truth of the matter is he can chastise you. Friend, let me say this to you. If he chastises you, you know what that means? That means you belong to him. You belong to him. I was with Brother Whitaker this week, and he made this statement to me. I won't tell you who he was talking about, but he made the statement. He said, I know this person is saved because of the way God's had to deal with them. God's had to chastise them for their life. He only chastises his own. His own. I've got two kids. The only kids that I chastised, the only kids that I punished were my kids. Now, I may have felt like whooping the fire out of your kid, but I didn't, all right? Because they were not mine. I've got two. Now, my dad and my mom, they chastise us, my brother and myself. Him more often because he was meaner and needed it a lot more than I did. But I can remember my mom also chastising my cousins. Hey, when they got in the house, they were family. And I remember mom working on one of them big time. And I'll not relate that because it takes too much time and you'll be laughing and you'll miss the rest of the service, all right? But man, God was in it, okay? Hey, listen, God's in it when he chastises you. It's good for you. Good for you. If you'd never chastised, you'd never realize you'd done wrong. It's good to be chastised. Good to be chastised. Hey, it's a good thing when the police officer pulls you over because you've broken the law. It's a good thing. It's not a fun thing. It's a painful thing. But it's a good. It's for our good. Chastisement of God's a good thing. Boy, you say, well, I don't want to be. Look, you want God to correct you. And you need God to correct you. If we commend you to God, that means he's going to chastise you, and he will if you're disobedient. But wait a minute. Let me say this to you. If you're commended to God, that means he can carry you. He can carry you through the storms and through the darkness of night that may come your way. He can carry you. We entrust you with him. When you're weak, when you're at the end of your rope, he can pick you up and get you through. You say, man, I don't think I can get any further. It's okay, he'll carry you. He'll carry you. He can pick you up. He can do that. Storm's coming, it's okay, he can get you through it. He can get you through it. I'd much rather be in his care in the storm than anybody else's. Anybody else's much rather be there. Hey, he can carry you. I commend you to God. Paul commended them to God because he knew God could take care of them. He would carry them through the storms, through the darkness of night. Not only that, he can comfort you. He can comfort you in disappointments, and depression, and loss. He can do it. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 talks about him as being the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Man, I don't know about you, but I like it when somebody comforts me. I liked it when mama would say, come here, son. I liked it when my grandmother would call me. I'll not tell you what she called me because I don't want you thinking about it, all right? My grandmother called me and boy, I'd come and she'd hug me. That's a good thing. Good thing. Wasn't like dad. Get over it. You'll be all right. Shake it off. Be tough. I need some comfort. I got an owie, you know. We want that comfort. We want that comfort. I'll tell you, our God's the God of all comfort. You've gone through disappointment, he'll comfort you. You've gone through loss. Maybe you've stood at the graveside of a loved one. You've been there. You've watched them close that casket for that last time. Some of you have had that experience with the dearest person you loved on this earth. You've seen that casket closed. You could stand today and testify to the comfort that God can give. He is the God of all comfort. Hey, I commend you to him. He'll comfort you when you need that comfort. When there's loss in your life, he'll comfort you. Not only that, he can constrain you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. To constrain is to compel or to force or to strongly encourage. Listen, when we talk about the love of Christ constraining us, it is our love for Him that ought to compel us, that ought to force us to be active in our service for Him. Why? Because we love Him. We love Him. There's a lady sitting back there on the third row from the back. I'd do anything for her I could because I love her. I'll do more for her than I would do for you, maybe, because I love her so much. And I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to wash dishes. I hate washing dishes. But I'll wash dishes. I'll do that. I'll sweep the floor. I'll vacuum the floor. I'll do that. Why? I love her. I love her. I'll go to Hobby Lobby with her. I won't like it, but I'll do it. I'll do it. Why? Because my love for her constrains me to do that. I've got two kids. There's things I'll do for them. Hey, you hear me? You hear me? The love of Christ were to constrain us to serve Him. To serve Him. Can I just state it plainly? To me, showing up at the house of God on Sunday is not a burden. How could that be a burden? I'm doing what He's told me to do. When He's told me, and that's a burden. Coming back, being in the house of God on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Look, now I understand if you've got job obligations and you can't. But I'm talking about people that are sitting at home watching the boob tube. Sitting at home playing on some stupid video game. Sitting at home, on the computer. Sitting at home fussing and fighting with your family. Hey, bring them to church. Hey, it's no burden to do that. There's no burden there. Why? Because I love the Lord. I love Him. It's not a problem to do it. Not one bit of problem at all. I've been commended to Him. He can constrain you. He can constrain you. But wait a minute. To be entrusted to God, to be commended to God, indicates that God can do with you as He pleases. But it also indicates this, you can do with Him as you please. It's your choice. It's your choice. We've been entrusted to God. There were a very, very few times in my life as a child when my parents went somewhere and did not take my brother and I. And they entrusted us to the care of someone else. Now, there's only one instance I can remember that they entrusted us to the care of my grandparents, my dad's mom and dad. And we went out to the farm. Mom and dad went somewhere, don't remember where they went. I was a little kid. And we were taken out to my grandpa and grandma's farm. And we were left there, and we slept where we didn't normally sleep. And we ate at the table we didn't normally eat at. They were entrusted. Now, we had a choice. My brother and I had a choice. We could conform to the plan that was given to us there. Or we could have rebelled against that. We could have said, I don't like sleeping in your bed, Grandma. We could have said that. Wouldn't have been wise, but we could have said that. Hey, listen, we've been commended to the care of God. You can conform to His plan for your life. You can conform to His plan for your life. Look, it's your choice if you want to be conformed to the world or you want to be conformed to His plan in opposition to the plan and purpose of the world. That's your choice. Comes to you. You're given that opportunity. God says, here it is, this is best, you ought to go this way, but you can say, nope, don't want to do that. You can make that choice if you want to. You see, we've been commended to God, and we've been entrusted to Him, but hey, whether or not you decide to agree with that and conform to what's there and how it goes on, that's up to you. Hey, you can choose to follow where He leads. That's a choice. You can choose to follow where He leads. You don't have to do it. You have that choice. The Bible talks about, and the prophet of God, it says, this is the way, walk ye in it. You can say, no, I don't want to walk there. I don't want to do that. That day on the beach, the Sea of Galilee, the Lord Jesus Christ found James and John mending their nets. And He spoke to them and He said, follow Me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. They had a choice. They had a choice. They could have said, nah, we'd rather fish for fish. We've been doing this all our life. We know how to do this. We're comfortable here. We're not going to do that. But the Bible says straightway they left their nets. Followed Him. Followed Him. One of these days, as a child of God, you'll be able to stand in the presence of James and John. Look them in the eye and say, you ever wish you hadn't have followed Him? What do you think the answer is going to be? Oh, yeah, we regret it like crazy. My soul! No, none of them are going to say that. Can I say this to you? I've never talked to anybody that gave their life and had submitted to following the Lord. I've never talked to anybody who said, boy, I wish I hadn't have done that. Never talked to anybody. Never had anybody say that to me. But man, I can't begin to tell you how many people that have said, I wish I'd have done what he said. I wish I'd have conformed to his plan. I wish I'd have followed where he leads. Hey, you've got a choice. You can choose. Hey, if you want to, you can crawl away from all that he has and all that he'll give to you. You can crawl off into the gutter if you want to. That's where you want to live your life. You can live it there. Go down. Find your wino and say, I want to be like you. You got an extra brown paper bag? Have you got an extra bottle of Ripple that I can swallow? Hey, is there room for me under that bridge where you live? If you want to, you can choose that life. But you don't have to. Paul said, I commend you to God. I commend you to God. I exhort you and I entrust you to live for Him and do what He says. But it's your choice. That's point number one. I want you to go back to Acts 20. Look at verse 32 again. He said, brethren, I commend you to God. Then he says this, and to the word of His grace. The word of His grace. Oh, my soul, the grace of God. The word of that grace. And that word, hey, that grace is the thing you don't deserve, but God gives it to you. That's the grace of God. You don't deserve it, but He gives it to you. Man, you just reel it off. Salvation, you don't deserve it, but He'll give it to you. You don't deserve it. He'll give it to you. A home in heaven, you don't deserve it, but He'll give it to you. Why? That's the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Hey, he said, I'm going to commend you to the word of God's grace, all right? That's where it is. And he said, I'm giving it to you to do with as you please. You can lay it aside or you can lap it up. It's your choice. Your choice. He said, man, here it is. I commend you to the word of His grace. Man, you just get a hold of that, lap that up, get it all you can, enjoy it all you can. Every bit you can. Brother Miss Whitaker have a dog, Jack's his name. Jack was with them in Belize. And they thought so much of Jack, they brought him back from Belize, and he now lives with them. And old Jack, he'll sit down, man, when it's time to eat. He's right there with you. And he's interested. He's interested. he doesn't say, oh, never mind, y'all are eating, I'm not interested. He's there. He's there. And if anybody make a move to give him something, he doesn't go. Man, he's there. Boom. He'll lap it up. He'll lap it up. Boy, if we just had that attitude, if we want to lap up the word of God's grace, think with me what it'll do for you. Notice what the Bible says. Notice what it says. Which is able to build you up. Build you up. Hey, it's able to stabilize you. To get you planted on a solid rock so that you will not and cannot be moved by the winds of change and the winds of compromise that come in this world. You won't be touched by that. Why? Because I've got a hold of the word of his grace and it stabilized me. It's built me up. To be built up is to be strengthened and to be stabilized, to give that stability. What a wonderful thing stability is. Now, as you get older, some of you are going to find out your stability is not what it used to be. Just your sense of balance is not what it used to be. There are things I will not do at my age now that I used to do without even thinking about it. So why are you so worried about it? Because I don't want to fall. I don't want to break a hip. When I was the age of some of you youngsters running around here, falling was not a concern. I remember working out in karate with Larry Sanders, who's a member of this church, when I moved here. And Larry Sanders was, you know, he knew a lot. He taught me to fall. He would throw me around his yard. And I would go with him, and I thought, all right, that's a good thing. Man, if he tried that now, I'd pull out my 2x4 and say, don't you touch me, boy. I don't want to be flung around anybody's yard anymore. Hey, my stability is not what it used to be. And boy, I tell you what, spiritually, it gets better all the time because of the word of his grace. I've got a hold of the word of God. Man, it strengthens you. My soul, how you need the strength to stand alone for God. If you trust Christ and decide to live for him, you're going to be attacked. You're going to be attacked. The devil will see to it that the attack comes from somewhere. And it's not going to happen while you're sitting in church with all the support crew that's here. No, it's going to happen while you're out there in the world somewhere and the attack comes when you're weak and there you are. You say, where am I going to have the strength to stand? You get this grace, the word of God's grace. Let it be in you. Man, it'll strengthen you. For the journey, all right? It'll strengthen you so you can finish that journey in the will of God. In the will of God. I've had the privilege, and I do mean privilege, of conducting the funeral service for what I believe is some great saints of God. And I want to tell you, it's a blessing to be able to stand by that casket for that one who served God and who finished well. Finished well. And they had the strength and they stood. When they went out of here, they went out of here on top. I've also had the privilege of conducting some services, though, for some who messed up big time. It wasn't such a joy there. I'm glad they were saved. But all the wasted years, all the waste that had been done, because they had gotten away from God. In some cases, their sin killed them. In some cases, their sin killed them. Hey, listen, it's so good to have that strength. So good. You say, where are you going to get it from? It'll build you up. He said, I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. You got that? Build you up. Strengthen you. Stabilize you. You can be planted. You'll be on that rock. You're not going to be tossed around. You're right there. But notice what else it says. Same verse. And to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Give you an inheritance among the sanctified. Now, an inheritance usually, most often, comes from a family member. You say, well, I know somebody that got in somebody else's will. I know that happens. But the truth of the matter is usually inheritance comes from a family member. All right? Some of you, maybe you're waiting for your loved one to die because you want to spend their money. My brother and I, the standing joke in our family was, when mom and dad die, we're going to split the debt. We'll split the debt. Hey, look, usually that inheritance comes. Usually when we think of inheritance, we think in terms of wealth. We think in terms, really, of money. Now, let's face it, we think about this stuff. We think about green folding stuff. And we like to think about it that way. We Gentiles got grafted in to the family of God by the grace of God. And we have been given an opportunity to have an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified. That is an absolutely priceless inheritance. You should take your Bible and go to 1 Peter chapter 1, would you? 1 Peter chapter 1, an inheritance. Look, we're interested in money. Let's be honest, okay? You sit here and say, not me, I don't care. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. We've been born again, begotten us again. We're born into the family of God, and we've got an inheritance. Now, here's what the Bible says about that inheritance. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven for you. Incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away. Fadeth not away. I've got a book of sermons by an old-time preacher from many years ago. And he, in that book of sermon, he relates how one time he had a lady at one of his revival meetings came to him after he had preached several nights. And she said, I just want you to know I'm putting you in my will. Putting you in my will. He was talking to somebody else and they said, man, she is super wealthy. Super wealthy. He said, for a little while I got to thinking about it, got excited about it. But he said, I think it was the next night where the guy came to him and said, hey, I heard she put you in your will. I just want you to know you shouldn't get excited because unless she dies real soon, you won't be in it long. She's told a bunch of people the same thing. He said the problem was she lived too long. She changed the will. So when she died, I didn't get anything. Hey, but the Bible said we've got an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's undefiled and it fadeth not away. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Hey, if you were in line to inherit from me, and I told you, man, I've got some investments out there, and they're doing real good. Have y'all ever noticed how investments can change? I remember Brother Barber one time. Brother Barber, a member of our church for years and years. Brother Barber had investments, and he told me one time, he said, man, the stock market crashed. He said, I have lost a ton. Fadeth away. But not the inheritance we get from God. Hey, that word of his grace is able to give you an inheritance. An inheritance among all which are sanctified. It's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it fadeth not away, and is reserved in heaven for you. You said, oh man, but I got to go to heaven. Well, wait a minute, hold on just a second. Hold on just a second. We're already enjoying. If you're saved, you ought to already be enjoying the earnest of that inheritance. You ought to already be enjoying the earnest of that inheritance. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, the Bible says God gave us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, to live in us, and that is the earnest of what is to come. It's the earnest money. It's been put down and it's given to you, and that is the promise that, hey, there's a whole lot more to come. This is just the beginning. Just the beginning. And I'm saying to you this morning, as a child of God, if you've been born again, you already ought to be enjoying the earnest of that inheritance. You said, well, wait a minute, I can't spend it. Oh, wait a minute, it's not money. Remember that part, incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away? You're making a living now. All right? I'll just tell you, you talk about money not worth what it used to be. Money not worth near what it used to be. I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, we would go to the barbershop to get a haircut. Dad or mom would reach in their pocket or in their billfold and peel out the money. But you don't peel out quarters. It only cost 50 cents for me to get a haircut when I was a kid. So for, as my grandpa would say, for 4 bits, I could get a haircut. Take 50 cents to a barbershop now. They won't let you sit in a chair and wear their sheet for 50 cents. Man, I'm paying over protest. I pay 20 bucks to get a haircut. I go into other places and I've said, how much did you charge? They said, 30. I said, see you. I'll start going to Brother Todd's barber if it gets higher, all right? Hey, listen, money's not worth what it used to be. But what God gives you is worth every bit it's always been worth. Hey, there's a certain thing called joy that God gives you that you can enjoy in life today. You can have it. You said, but preacher, you don't know the problems I'm having. May not. But you don't know the problems I've had either. We've been there. I remember when we were over on Dean Road. We lived on 4036 Netches. We were in Dean Road. And all of a sudden, our van decided, I ain't going nowhere. Transmission went out. I just want to tell you straight out, we didn't have $2,000 to put a transmission in that vehicle. But can I say this to you? Didn't lose the joy God gave me. Didn't affect that. Didn't affect the thrill of being His child. Didn't affect the comfort that I could still go to Him. I could go to Him and say, now, Lord, here we are. You know the problem. We need a vehicle. And it's up to You, Lord. Now, we didn't spend time doing this. We didn't weep and cry. Hey, Lord took care of us. Lord's took an amazing care through the years. Why? Because I've been perfect? No. But I sure tried to get in on the word of His grace. I've sure tried to enjoy that. I've sure tried to let Him build me up. I've sure tried my best to go to Him and decide, I want to follow Him. Lord, I'll take Your path because I know when I take my path, I get in a mess. Lord, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to follow You. I'm going to do what You say to do. Lord, You call me, I'll come. You call me, I'll come. And You call me to preach, Lord, I'll say, here am I, send me. Here am I. That's fine, Lord, no problem. You want to chastise me? I'll bend over, Lord. I'm not going to enjoy it, but You go ahead, You lay it on because I know I need it. Hey, let me tell you something. I said if you'll get into His light, you'll find a marvelous life. You know, that is the place to live. That is the place to live. I just want to ask you this morning, will you allow yourself to be entrusted to God? Will you take the word of God's grace and let it work in you? Will you do that? Hey, you can accept that commendation or you can resist it. It's up to you. I just want to make it plain, you're really going to miss out if you resist Him and the word of His grace. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. Now, you make it to heaven. You make it to heaven. But honestly, I believe this. I believe there's some folks going to get to heaven one of these days, and it's going to take them a while to get used to it. This is going to take them a little while to get used to it because they've spent their life down here living their own life and worried and bothered, and they're going to get to heaven and say, what's all these people, man? They act like they never had a problem. Oh, we had the problem, but we just knew who to take it to. We had the trouble, but we knew where to go to get comfort. Yeah, we had that, but we knew where to go. Oh, this morning, how about you? I commend you to His grace. I'll commend you to God. But will you let Him do His work in you? Will you allow Him to work? Or are you going to stand and say, I'll do it my way? Go ahead. You sure going to miss out. You're going to miss out. That would be like me sitting down at my mama's kitchen and she pulls out the chicken and dumplings. She pulls out that pecan pie. That'd be like me looking at it and saying, I think I'll cook today. If you've ever eaten my cooking, you'd know. He ain't never going to do that. Man, that'd be, hey, God's laid it out for us. God gives it to us. Will you take it today? Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. I don't tell you this, I can't commend you to anything any better. Can't give you to anything even half as good. Commend you to God, but will you accept it? Will you allow yourself to do it? Hey, will you give yourself to Him today, right now? Would you do it? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we call upon You this morning because we need You. We need to hear from heaven. Lord, there's some folks here that have never trusted You as their Savior. They've never been born again. They're here today and they realize that. Lord, they may not realize all that's involved, but they realize, I don't know what that preacher's talking about because I've never experienced it.